All right, Cenk Uygur and Anna Kasparian with you guys, Young Turks. Some tweets and then some stories. The young feminist says Cenk randomly saying Rochester on TYT Live made my day, assuming he meant my Rochester. Well, if you live in New York, I meant your Rochester. If not, oops. Carrie G says another racist in this administration. Color me shocked. In other news, there at this round. Josh Lasagna, who has an awesome name, says, "LOL, wait, he used the Orientals in this day and age. Jesus Christ."
He's a Georgetown professor. Amazing.
And you know why is he a Georgetown professor? Because a lot of those top schools, like the media, like so many other things that are in power in this country, bend over backwards to pretend that Republicans and Democrats are equal and that conservatives and liberals are equal. Well, I mean, one side says it's a complicated issue that's nuanced and takes some sophistication to understand and actually study. The other side says, it's race, right? And I think they're equal. I think they're equal. I think he needs to be a professor at Georgetown. Okay. Anyway, one last one. Trey Beatty says, whoa, boy, this story on William Otis is a depressing example of what this administration does while the mainstream media focuses and focuses people's attention on all the crazy. Proud member of a news media organization that covers real issues. Thank you, Trey. And you guys make it possible. TYTnetwork.com/join. Otherwise, we'd have nothing.
You know what? We do cover the real issues. And we're about to cover the realest issue of them all.
So we decided that we're going to have a little bit of fun in Anna's segments to start off with. So I hope you enjoy these and then we'll get to some hard-hitting stuff.
Yes. All right. Donald Trump Jr. visited the state of Pennsylvania, the great state of Pennsylvania, in order to campaign for the candidate Saccone, Rick Saccone to be specific. And while he was doing this campaign work, he had a bunch of incredibly important interviews, including an interview with a chocolate Easter bunny. I love all of this. I love every part of this. Okay, so first, let me explain why this story caught my attention to begin with. I thought that a local news reporter thought it would be cute to interview him as if the Easter Bunny was interviewing him, because that's what local news does. Local news reporters will walk toward the camera as they're doing their stand-up for no reason. They're just walking toward the camera. Or they'll do all sorts of goofy things like imitate a bear attack, as if we don't know what a bear attack would look like. So I thought this was probably like a cute gimmicky thing that a local reporter was doing, but that is not the case. I'll tell you what this all was in just a second.
No, Anna, but you made a critical mistake there. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's because they don't realize those other things are goofy. They're not doing it on purpose. They're told by their news directors, if you walk towards the camera, people will take you more seriously. So we've talked about this on air before. I worked in local news. Ben Mankiewicz, our co-founder, mm-hmm. worked in local news for a lot longer and more of this like local affiliate stuff, right?
Yeah.
And consultants would come in. First of all, they would tell them to talk like this, right? Why? Nobody talks like that, right?
Uh-huh.
And once they told him, don't ever pick up a pen. And he's like, what if I need to write? Okay.
Wait, why shouldn't you pick up a pen?
Because, I don't know, they had this convoluted nonsense thing about how it'll make you seem pensive and indecisive or something along those lines. I don't remember the whole story now. And he's like, it'll make you seem like a human who writes. And I'm on the news. I would care about the facts. I would need to use a utensil every once in a while to write them down. Anyway, they're like, don't do that. And they teach you to say, earlier today, there was a fire here. Well, then you should have been there earlier today, because there's nothing behind you right now, okay? So when they do that stuff and they reenact the bear attack, they're serious. They're like, yeah. And then the bear approach like this. I know it's really like humiliating, but they like it would take an extraordinary local news person to be, by the way, news director. The reporters, yeah. I'm sure they would love to do it every, some mm-hmm. of them would, mm-hmm. but the news director's like, don't do that. That'll ruin our credibility. Dude, what credibility?
Well, wait, which behavior would ruin their credibility. The Easter Bunny stunt?
The Easter Bunny.
Okay, so to be fair, the Easter Bunny stunt was not a stunt. A local news reporter did not do this on purpose. There was a different reporter by the name of Andrew Rush. He writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And from the angle in which he was standing, he noticed that he could take a picture that made it appear as though the Easter Bunny was interviewing Donald Trump Jr. So he took that picture, posted it online, went viral, and people made memes out of it. I just thought it was funny, and my assumptions unfortunately were wrong. I kind of wish a local news reporter did this.
I wish they were allowed to have that kind of fun. They might have better ratings.
Yeah.
Anyway, credit to Andrew Rush who took that hilarious picture.
Yes.
And are we going to turn this into how the Trump family is a disaster? No, that's for other stories. This was just fun.
This was just fun. Okay, one other quick heartwarming story. This is more heartwarming than fun. Recently, Joe Biden went to the movies, and after he left the movies, he ran into a homeless person who he apparently gave some sort of note to and had a conversation with. Now, little did he know there was someone else watching and someone taking photos of him as he was having this conversation with a homeless man. And the picture ended up online and everyone reacted to it. So I want to share some of those comments with you. First of all, Caleb Baca, who is the person who took the photo, says the following. I'm not exactly sure what he gave the homeless man, but he appeared to write something down on a piece of paper inside the movie theater, which he then proceeded to give the homeless man outside. And a bunch of different people, both public figures and private citizens, commented on this on Twitter. And you know, everyone pretty much agrees. You know, politics aside, Biden's always been a decent man and a good man. And so John Aravosis tweeted the following. This was my favorite tweet in regard to the picture. Some men pay off porn stars while others stop to get to know a homeless man.
Yeah, I love that. My favorite version of that, several people said it that way, is Patrick Tomlinson said, when he thought no one was watching, Trump cheated on every one of his three wives. When he thought no one was watching, Joe Biden comforted a homeless man. I think that is quite telling of their character, at least.
Yeah, it was a heartwarming, nice thing to see, especially in the middle of what's happening in the country. There's so much cruelty, there's so much anger, so much divisiveness, and it's nice to see acts of kindness, you know, break that apart a little bit.
So it was originally shared on Facebook by businessman Paul Equal, and he wrote in that Facebook post, "Character is about what you do when no one is watching." So look, there's the just the awe part of this story. Like you look, I looked at the picture, I was like, oh. And there's another part of that, which is that he'd gone to the movies with his granddaughter. So he takes his granddaughter to the movies, then comes out, sees a homeless man, and spends time talking to him and comforting him. Mm-hmm. That's a double awe. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's good enough, but I don't want anybody to get confused. That doesn't mean that you have to agree with all of Joe Biden's policies.
No, no. Now you're a shill for Joe Biden. I knew it. You sellout. You establishment shill. No, I mean, this is aside from politics. It's a person doing a kind thing. Let's all move on with our lives.
Okay, but before we move on, I want to talk more about Joe Biden because he's an interesting cat, okay? I'm just going to tell a couple of fun stories real quick. So Joe Biden will talk to anyone. So that's part of this too. I remember my first interaction with him was in 1988 when I was a freshman at Penn and I had just gotten there and I was going to the bookstore to buy some books and shirts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was a political geek even back then. And Biden was just running for office, running for president. And he's at the bookstore and he's a pretty tall guy. And he's looking around, does anybody recognize me? Does anybody recognize me? His son was also going to Penn at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I go up and I go, Senator Biden, how are you doing? He's like, oh, great. And he comes and talks to me, et cetera. So look, you could say he's looking for attention, but you could also say that he cares about people. So right. He bothered to talk to me and have a real conversation. We engaged a little bit of policy talk, et cetera. And Biden's also been right on a lot of things. And so He was the guy who said we should have split Iraq into three. I think that the creation of ISIS partly justified what he was saying. I agreed with him all throughout. He was the first one and not the only one, but among the few voices in Washington who recognized, hey, knuckleheads, in Iraq there are three contingents, Sunni, Shia, and Kurds, and they're never going to get along. And if you don't do something about it, it'll lead to worse conflict. And it did, and how that's partly how we got ISIS, etc. Now, that doesn't mean that Biden's right about everything, and in fact, there's a lot of things that I disagree with him now, and I wish he'd, like, he is kind of an average guy. He was the poorest senator, etc., but he stayed in Washington for so long, and so even though he's a good guy, I think he believes in some things that I think are, he could be so much more progressive on. So I wouldn't necessarily support him for president. But and he makes gaffes. But that was in the pre-Trump era when gaffes mattered. Right. Now gaffes might help you. I don't know.
I feel like gaffes only matter when it comes to liberals.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they can't shake it. They can't shake it the way the right wing does.
And I love the way he gives speeches. He'll lean in like he did at the National Convention, Democratic National Convention in 2016. But okay, guys. No. Listen to me. This is not political. This is important. I love when Uncle Joe does that. It doesn't mean that he's the right candidate, but I will end on one small political point on that. So I see this, and I am like, "Oh, Uncle Joe, right?" Mm-hmm. And then, of course, pundits come in and go, "Now, look, you know, this is probably a rare situation where age doesn't matter." And I'm like, "Oh God, you ruined it."
Wait.
Right?
What? Like,
in other words, yes, he's as old as Bernie Sanders. But it's okay when it's Joe Biden. But those are the same pundits who will say Bernie Sanders is too old.
Oh, I didn't see that commentary.
Yeah.
And everyone just needs to shut up.
Just let him have a nice moment without ruining it.
I know, like we got into politics too. It's just a nice moment. You know, people, you can compartmentalize those things. Like people can do good things outside of their political beliefs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, some people can. And some people on the other side do terrible things outside of politics.
Yeah.
And inside of politics.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the serious stuff that's going on.
Back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you. Carrie says, picking up a pen makes you look pensive. Unintended dad joke made me laugh. You are right, that one was unintended. And probably untrue. I don't know. Remember the Ben story exactly as to why they weren't supposed to pick up pens. Is there anything that consultants don't ruin?
No.
Okay. Zoe writes in, but cynical me in these times couldn't help wonder about the timing of the snap of Joe. After so many articles floating about him running for Prez 2020, am I horrible? Well, she's not alone. Captain Jingle Pants says, I'm super skeptical. Joe Biden's always being watched.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you about doing that story?
How come this is the first time we're seeing this? And is it obvious he's running in 2020? I don't know. I believe he's a good person. I just don't believe this wasn't obviously set up somehow. Now, look, guys, part of our job here is to decipher political things for you guys and look beyond what is being said and tell you what they're actually mean by that. I know Biden-like politicians. That shot is too candid. They would have wanted his face, they would have wanted a better suit, they would have wanted a better angle. He looked old in that picture.
But they'd want you to think that.
No, they're not that sophisticated.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hear you, but I really don't think that's the case. All right, member shout outs are Jason McGill and Desha Penchef. Thank you guys. By the way, in today's postgame, I'm going to tell another Joe Biden story. It's a really heartwarming story about Joe Biden and Al Gore that Gore told me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's tytnetwork.com/join to become a member and get all the postgames where we tell you these extra stories. Okay, and speaking of extra, next week is bananas, Bernie Town Hall on Income Inequality. That's on March 19th. We're going to do it right here. We'll have the show obviously at 6 o'clock as normal. We'll pick up the Town Hall at 7 o'clock and we'll have extra coverage for you guys and analysis of it as well. Then March 20th is the Illinois primary. There's no runoffs in Illinois. So either Dan Lipinski, who's anti-choice, wins, or Marie Newman, the progressive candidate against him, wins. Mm-hmm. So either Daniel Biss, the upstart, beats J.B. Pritzker, the billionaire, or the billionaire establishment Democrat wins. It's gonna be amazing. So that's on Tuesday, so don't miss that either. All of our coverage here on the Young Turks. And by the way, I'll be interviewing Illinois candidates today on Rebel Headquarters immediately following the show. All right, Anna, what's next?
Two people in the Austin, Texas area have died following the delivery of explosive packages that they unfortunately opened. One other individual has been severely injured and remains in critical condition in the hospital. Now, three packaged bombs have exploded at homes in the Texas Capitol over the past 10 days, including two on Monday, killing two people and injuring two others. Investigators say they believe the incidents are related. And one common theme that the investigators have noted is that it has impacted minorities in the area. They haven't ruled whether or not this is a hate crime. However, they haven't ruled it out either. The first blast happened March 2nd, killing Anthony Stephen House, a 39-year-old African-American man. A bombing early Monday of this week killed a 17-year-old African-American male. Now, there is a connection between those two victims. House was the stepson of Freddie Dixon, a former pastor at a historic black church in Austin. Dixon is friends with the grandfather of the teen who was killed Monday. So that's another interesting connection when it comes to some of the victims in this case. Also, there was a third explosive that was detonated on Monday of this week. Another explosive around noon Monday severely wounded a 75-year-old Hispanic woman. She remains in the hospital in critical condition.
Yeah, I think that the first bomb was interesting. Wow, a bomb in Austin for no reason in the beginning. The fact that it was an African-American man meant absolutely nothing. Then when you got three bombs, they've all hit minorities. And now the cops are saying, well, there's no conclusion at all, but we are considering that it's a hate crime. That's a pretty large coincidence, but it's three.
It's three people, right?
Yeah, it could still be that it was random, and the next three could hit white people. And let's hope that there are none, and that it doesn't hit anybody. And then I thought, well, South by Southwest is happening in Austin, which is a huge event. I wonder if it's near that. Nope, apparently not related, because the bombs were nowhere near South by. Thank God for that. But at this point, it appears to be clearly some form of domestic terrorism. We're not positive who it's directed at, and we certainly have no idea who's doing it. But it's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Three bombs in one city, two going off on the same day. It feels like this story should be a lot larger than it is.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit of attention, but you know, I feel like in the Trump era, there's so much breaking news that it's difficult to cover everything that's going on. And so a story like this that would dominate headlines in Obama's administration isn't getting as much attention now. But it is terrifying because it's the last thing that you would expect. You see a package at your door, you think that it's a completely harmless thing, you open it and you know you lose your life or severely injure people inside the home. So again, unfortunately, they're aren't any leads at the moment. The story is still developing and hopefully the authorities do find who it is and what the motive is. But as far as we know, at this point, there isn't even a motive. So
I'm sure, I would be shocked if they weren't connected. I would be shocked if there wasn't a motive, but we just don't know it yet. So one more thing, guys, be careful. And I know a lot of people in Austin are worried and they're taking precautions with all the boxes that are coming in. And a lot have been reported to the cops, and that's understandable. Of course, most of them are not bombs. So the cops are running around town looking at boxes, but it's super understandable. But I want to tell you one thing about it. None of the boxes have had a label from the post office, FedEx, or UPS. So if it has one of those, it's likely to be okay. I mean, I don't know, I'd be careful too if I was you. Mm-hmm. But if you see one without a label, be extra careful, okay? And yes, reported to the authorities.
All right, moving on to some other news. An ICE spokesman has resigned from his position following criticism geared toward the city of Oakland, California by Trump officials and Trump himself. Now, this all has to do with a story that broke in the previous week because of the mayor of Oakland informing the citizens that ICE was planning on doing an immigration raid in the area. Now, Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump, and other ICE officials were incredibly frustrated and angry that the mayor would do that. And so they essentially exaggerated the number of people that they were looking to arrest through the raid, but failed to do so because of the mayor informing the citizens that the raid was about to take place. Now, the person who has resigned from his job is James Schwab, who was a former spokesperson for ICE. Now, administration officials, including Attorney General Jeff Sessions and President Donald Trump, grossly exaggerated the number of undocumented immigrants who avoided arrest after Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf tipped off the public days before the raid began on February 25th. Now, here's what Schwab had to say about it. I quit because I didn't want to perpetuate misleading facts. I asked them to change the information. I told them that the information was wrong. They asked me to deflect and I didn't agree with that. Then I took some time and I quit. So let's talk a little bit about the discrepancy. Now, the ICE raid did lead to hundreds of arrests. About 232 people were arrested. But the Trump administration argues that nearly 1,000 more could have been arrested, which was not the case. Acting ICE Director Thomas Homan claimed that 864 criminal aliens escaped arrest, and Trump railed that close to 1,000 people would have been swept up. Sessions accused the Oakland mayor of promoting a radical open borders agenda. The fact of the matter is none of those numbers were true. That they exaggerated the numbers, and there was an ICE official, an ICE spokesperson, who made that abundantly clear to them, and they refused to change the messaging. Of course they refused to change the messaging. It's not about the facts, it's about spreading a political narrative and fear-mongering about, you know, the crime in Oakland because of these undocumented immigrants. The reality is, if you look at the statistics, crime has actually been decreasing in Oakland consistently over the last several years.
Look, I think Schwab's a bit of an American hero, and I'll tell you why. It's not, I don't know his politics. He's an ICE official, so he might be in favor of sweeping up undocumented immigrants. I don't know who he voted for. So I don't mean it in that sense or in a political sense. It's just that willing to risk your job, and a pretty good job at that, because in his words, he couldn't bear the burden of saying something that was false. That's a pretty decent and moral thing to do, no matter how you slice it. So when he saw that they were saying that 864 criminal aliens had escaped arrest, and he's like, you don't know that. That's just not true.
Right. Like, where did they get that number from?
Who knows, right? And he's like, and you have no idea how much the Oakland mayor's announcement affected or didn't affect things. And where are you getting these numbers from? And I just appreciate that there's still somebody left on the planet who can't bear to tell a brazen political lie, you know. And by the way, a lot of the people at the FBI that are now working on the Trump investigation, etc., are also Republicans. So that's why I'm saying, I really, really don't have no idea what this guy's politics is. But yes, there are some decent people on both sides of the aisle who at some point draw a line and go, well, I didn't come here so we can deceive the people we're supposed to serve. So James Schwab, for that bold act, thank you. It shouldn't be uncommon, but unfortunately these days it is.
Yep. All right, moving on. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the former governor of California, is back in the news. And recently, he gave an interview to Politico, Politico's off-message podcast to be specific. And he said some pretty fascinating things about the issue of climate change and these big oil companies that have been getting away with pretty bad behavior. And keep in mind, Arnold Schwarzenegger still identifies as a Republican, but when it comes to big oil companies, he wants to get tough and he actually wants to file a lawsuit against them. He explains the details in the next video. Take a look.
I think it is also important that for people to really focus on that issue, because this is no different than the smoking issue. The tobacco industry knew for years and years and years and decades that smoking would harm people, would kill people, would create cancer, and they were hiding that fact from the people. and denied it. And then eventually they were taken to court and they had to pay hundreds of billions of dollars because of that. Because they knew. So the same thing is now with the oil companies. The oil companies, because people don't know that, but the oil companies knew from 1959 on, they did their own study and knew there will be global warming and climate change happening because of fossil fuels. And on top of it, it will be risky for people's lives, that it will kill people and they will get cancer and all this. All of this stuff, the oil companies knew. And they kept hiding it from the people. This is why we are now talking to law firms to go and do exactly the same thing as they've done in the tobacco industry, where we sue the oil companies for knowingly killing people all over the world.
So he uses very strong language. Later on, he says this, and I quote him, let's go to graphic 48. To me, it's absolutely irresponsible to know that your product is killing people and not have a warning label on it like tobacco. Every gas station on it, every car should have a warning label on it. Every product that has fossil fuels should have a warning label on it.
Look, I like this other quote too from graphic 47. He said, if you walk into a room and you know you're going to kill someone, it's first degree murder. I think it's the same thing with the oil companies. I've never seen anyone in public office talk that way. Now he's of course no longer governor, but that's a former governor of the largest state in the union.
A former Republican governor, and he still identifies as a Republican. And you know, I listened to the whole podcast because I thought it was fascinating. And people accuse him of being Republican in name only. He's like, no, I'm a Republican. I don't know why this turned into a partisan issue, but we should be protecting, you know, Americans' health. We should be protecting the environment. And I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but I really respect him for standing his ground on this issue because it is important.
So when Schwarzenegger was governor, I disagreed with him on dozens of things. He is an actual Republican, and like most Republicans, the thing he cares most about was tax cuts. Why? Because he's rich.
Yeah.
But he has credibility in this respect for two reasons. One, he's not doing it for the money, he's extremely wealthy. So they can't say to him, oh, you're just suing just to get rich, right? And two, he's a Republican, so it's harder to make the case that it's some sort of partisan attack on the oil companies. But putting the politics aside for a second, it's bold, it's courageous, and I appreciate it. And he's right. They knew all the way back then, and I did a story about it a while back when new records were released from companies like ExxonMobil. And back when Exxon, which before the merger, had done their research, and the research clearly indicated, yes, it will cause climate change. Yes, it will be incredibly harmful to the planet. And they were like, yeah, let's not make that public. Okay, so they knew all along, they knew for decades and decades and decades as they denied and denied it, and then they paid politicians to deny it for them. So, I mean, that's another crime, the crime against democracy. And they took all those trillions of dollars in profits from all those years, from those decades. Look, these are the most profitable companies in the world, and they've been the most profitable companies in the world for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And all that money they already took home, they already built mansions, they already built, got their yachts and all that stuff. Rex Tillerson, who just left the Secretary of State, used to be the CEO of ExxonMobil. He hilariously fought against fracking in his backyard because it was next to his mansion, even though ExxonMobil was one of the biggest frackers in the country. Okay,
of course.
So they took all the money already and they put all the costs on us. I mean, the Arctic was 45 degrees warmer than average the other day. I mean, you look at every chart, it's got temperatures soaring, it's got oceans rising. And so guys like Schwarzenegger, for all the other things we disagree with him on, looks at him and goes, well, whether we like it or not, that's science. And I got children and grandchildren on this planet. And those oceans are gonna rise. They're in the middle of rising now. It's the severe weather isn't going to happen at an undetermined later time. It's happening right now. California was just on fire for extraordinarily long period, way longer than fire season normally goes on, way more severe, let alone the hurricanes you all saw last year. So it's real, and they took all the money, at a bare minimum suing them to get the money back for the American people and people worldwide is the least we could do.
We got to take a break. Let's do that. And when we come back, young Americans are so fired up that they're willing to get involved in the primaries, something that usually doesn't happen. I'll give you the details on that and more.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Jonathan Solomon writes in on YouTube Super Chat, better grammar improves credibility and fights American anti-intellectualism. I'd be careful if I was you, I'd be careful if I were you. Probably a reference to something I said. Jonathan, thank you for being the grammar police. We really needed that today. But you wrote it in, so I'll read it. The crazy atheist says, I love Anna Kasparian.
Wow.
She is so funny. I love her ethical integrity.
Oh, thank you.
TYT is too strong.
So the other day, now I'm doing what I asked you not to do. Real quick.
Yeah, now that it's about you.
The other day, so I make Christian laugh a lot, right?
Oh, please.
No, I do, especially after, anyway, I make him laugh a lot.
That was interesting.
I think I should try writing a stand-up.
Oh my God. Oh, please. We got to talk about that in a post.
Okay, we will.
Okay, tytnetwork.com/join to talk about Anna's stand-up career. That's going to be fantastic. And
I don't want to make a career out of it, but yes, let's talk about it.
Okay. Lincoln writes in, calling it now, if the bomber is a white person, it will be mental illness problem. But if it's anyone else, it will be a terrorist problem all over the news.
That's absolutely true.
Totally true. Okay, that's a jank-like prediction. Chase Ibanez writing, patiently waiting for Trump to blame the Austin bombings on Hispanic gangs, then propose arming teachers across the nation with bombs to combat further terrorism. Chase, such a great point. You know what, I'm giving Chase a t-shirt. Because, I mean, how preposterous is it when you do it in the context of bombs?
Right.
Only a good guy with a bomb can end a bad guy with a bomb.
That's true,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, shoptyt.com is where you can get TYT shirts and merchandise, but Chase, you'll get one free. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. A recent survey indicates that the majority of young people who would never consider voting in primaries, especially primaries for midterm elections, are now so fired up about politics that they want to get involved and they want to participate in picking the right candidate to represent them. Now, this is important because it's not just about a general election or the midterm elections. It's about getting involved early and making sure that these young people cast their ballots for the right candidate in the primaries. I love this. I can't tell you how much I love this story. Now, Cosmopolitan used SurveyMonkey in order to conduct this survey. It is a nationally representative sample, and here's what they found, okay? They found that, let's go to graphic 50, more than half, 53% of young people say the results of the 2016 presidential election are making them more likely to vote in this year's general election, meaning midterm elections. So 60% of young people ages 18 to 34 say they're absolutely certain to vote or will probably vote in the upcoming primary elections, and 68% say the same of the midterm elections. Okay, so they grouped those two groups together. So those who say they're absolutely certain and those who say I probably will, right? So again, 60% say I will vote in the primaries, and a higher percentage, 68%, say they will vote in the midterm election. Now, only 25% said that they voted in the 2014 midterm elections, just to give you a sense of how much the apathy has changed since 2014.
That's not a little difference. That's a giant difference. Now, the 68% didn't vote yet. They have to still go out there and vote. But their intention to vote is so much larger than the 25% from 2014 that it could make a mountain of difference. So them being excited to vote in midterm elections is wonderful. But I'm even more excited that they care about the primaries.
Yes, because there's never enough emphasis on the importance of the primaries. Yes, the general election's important. But by the time we hit the general election and people start paying attention, they think that we have this system set up where you have to vote for the lesser of two evils. But that's not true. If you get involved and engaged in politics early, and you get involved during the primaries, then you can pick a candidate that is better suited to represent you. And I think it just makes me so happy to realize, or happy to see that young people realize that and they want to get involved.
So look, we just covered primaries down in Texas. They just happened last week. And there's a woman we've nicknamed the Liberty Bell. She's a teacher down in Texas, running as a just Democrat, uncorrupted, no corporate PAC money, deeply progressive. And you know what she did? She organized volunteers, lots of volunteers. She won 80% of the vote in the primary. So and so many of the just Democrats won, and it's because people care and they're showing up for primaries and they're realizing in the primaries you don't have the lesser of two evils. You actually have a person who's really progressive if that's the direction you want to go in. For conservatives, I guess really conservative. Good luck with that. But anyway, it's obvious part of why they're driven to do this, because they realized by the time they got to Hillary and Trump, they hated their choices.
That's right. That's right.
And there's a woman who's quoted as saying, "I wish I knew about the primary so I can go vote for Bernie in California. I didn't know."
So let me tell you the story of Haley M. She goes by Haley M. We don't know her full name for obvious reasons. She hated Hillary, hated Trump, but was so mad that Hillary was the Democratic candidate. My sense is she leans to the left.
Was so
angry that Hillary ended up being the candidate that she did a protest vote in California and voted for Trump. And she's remorseful and regretful about all of that, but she says that it made her realize that she needs to get involved early. I can't tell you how happy this story makes me, because it gives me hope, it gives me faith. We need young people to go to the polls. We need them to be engaged. We need them to get involved. Yes, it's important for young people, but it's important for Americans in general to know what's going on during the primaries, get started early. Now, here's the biggest roadblock, because I don't want anyone to think that this is going to be an easy process. The vast majority of Americans are not in this political bubble where they're consuming political news and paying attention every single day. It takes resources to inform yourself about what's happening in politics, both on a local level and a national level. And unfortunately, only 30% of young adults said they know when their state's primary election will be held this year.
And I don't blame you, man. If you're not knee deep in politics, it's hard to know. Look, that's why we did tytnetwork.com/register, and we'll have that link down below. It doesn't go to our website. I just want it to be an easy link that you guys can all use easily. It redirects to a government website that shows you how to register in your own state. So you go find your state, figure out how to register, figure out when the primaries are. It gives you all the information you need to vote in your own state. tytnetwork.com/register. Okay. In terms of being registered, 17% of young people are still not registered to vote, whereas among 35 to 64 year olds, it's only 6% not registered. And for senior citizens above the age of 65, it's only 3%. Now, they've had more time to register because they've been alive longer. That's part of it that the article doesn't talk about. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter. You got to go out there and you got to beat them at that. And I'll tell you why I say you got to beat them. There's wonderful senior citizens in this country, and some of the most progressive people in the country are senior citizens, and some of the biggest fighters I know are. But having said that, on average, older Americans tend to be more conservative and they tend to vote more. Yep. So that is why the cavalry of the young American voter will make all of the difference in the world. And if you want real change, you've got to get out there and outvote other people, including most importantly in primaries. So go get them. All right, we got to go. Bye-bye.